Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Shavuos Daf Hey. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur. And even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. In our previous shiur, we were presenting Shitas Rebbe in the context of Droshos of Psukim, expounding on verses through one of two methods, Riboy Miut V'Riboy, or Klal Prat U'Klal. We concluded at the very top of Daf Hei that in general Rebbe darshens Klal Prat U'Klal, including the issue of Shavuos. And as a result of that, we will not be able to include a chiyuv korban on a shvua l'sheovar that one violates. However, with regard to pidyon haben, which was a topic featured on Daf Dalet Omid Beis, there he darshins ribui miut ribui. And the reason for that is because in the posuk dealing with pidyon haben, the klal expressions, or the general expressions, were placed next to each other, and only after them appeared the specific expression, or the detail, the prat. As a result of that, Rebbe says, based on the approach of Tona Debei Rabbi Shmuel, that one is not to darshan such psukim in the standard klal, prat uklal fashion, but rather takes the two klolim that are next to each other, puts the prat between them, and darshins it as a ribui miut v'ribui. The Gemara that we will be picking up with today at the upper part of Daf Hei cites the Tana Rabbi Shmuel from Maseches Chulin that does such a drasha, where the two klal words are next to each other, and only after them comes the prat expression, and darshins it as a result as a ribui miut ribui. In the context of our shiur, we will not be getting into the details of what the Gemara in Chulin is deriving from that drasha, but suffice it to say that when you have such a setup of two ribuis and then the miut following it, or the two klal words and then the prat following it, it's darshined as a ribui miut v'ribui. The Gemara on the second line from the top of Daf Hei Omid Aleph, v'hocha hainu taimo. Here in the case of Pidyon HaBen, where Rebbe darshan ribui miut v'ribui, that's kidetono debei Rabbi Shmuel. Based on the teaching of the school of Rabbi Shmuel, the tono debei Rabbi Shmuel, the pasuk that's quoted here, we have included on the side of the Gemara, Vayikra Perek Yud Aleph, pasuk Tess. It says there, Eze tochlu mikol asher b'mayim, kol asher lo snapir v'kaskeses b'mayim, b'yomim u'banacholim osam tochedu. The klal words, the issue of the pasuk, concerns different bodies of water. The general expression, you have b'mayim. The specific expression, you have necholim. You have yamim u'necholim, types of bodies of water. However, as you look at the pasuk, you'll notice that the general expressions appear, the two general expressions, the words b'mayim, appear before the specific expressions, the expressions indicating types of bodies of water. So as we look at the Gemara itself, we see a Tanaic source. This is the Tona Debei Rabbi Shmuel. B'mayim, b'mayim, shnei pomim. The two general expressions are written twice next to each other. Ein ze klal uprat elo ribo umie. We've included on the side a note. Hochinami, let's read the note where you see the asterisk. Hochinami, the pidyon haben ksiv ufduyov mi ben chodesh. That's a ribo. Tifdeh is a ribo. And only after that does the posuk speak about the be'erkecho kesef chameshes shkolim b'shekel ha'kodesh as from Gerahu. Therefore, as our note goes on to say, v'aveshnei ribuyim hasmuchim ze lo ze, the expressions ufduyo mi ben chodesh and tifteh. V'lochein dorshim b'ribuy umiut, avol b'derech klal, rebi doresh klal uprat. The Gemara at this point, with regard to the markings, we have a brackets. This is to separate the opinion of Rebbe from the Rabbonan. The Rabbonan, we know, disagreed with Rebbe with regard to the different items that one may use for pidyon haben. So in the bracketed section, the Gemara features the shitas of Rabbonan. Omar Avina, Kidamri Bamarova. Their approach is like the approach taken in Marova. Kol Mokom Shata Motse Shtei Klolos Hasmuchos Ze Loze. Wherever you find this kind of situation of the two general expressions in succession, and only afterwards you find the detail. Hatel Prat Beinem Vedunam Beklalo Prat. You are to place in your mind's eye the prat between the two general expressions, the specific expression between the two generals, and you you learn it as a klalu prat, not as a riboy umiut. Hashto the amris, Rebbe kloli uproti dorish. Now that we've come to this conclusion that Rebbe really darshans klalu prat and not riboy umiut, Baal Korchoch Kashya Shvuas, then the issue of Shvuas, which our Mishnah said that Shvuas are Shtayim Shein Arba, and in order to get to Arba, you have to talk about a Chiyuv on a, regarding a violation of a past tense type oath. But if you Darshan Klal Uprat, there will be no Chiyuv on a past tense type oath. If that be the case, so then we cannot set up the Mishnah like Rebbe, as we saw Rav Ashi try to do on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Ela, b'shvuas nosiv alibo de Rebbe Kiva, v'lei lo svira lei. Rather, we're going to say, unlike Rav Ashi on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph, that the Mishnah is, that our Mishnah, which is presented by Rebbe, he presents the example of Shavuos by citing Rabbi Akiva's Shita, but Rabbi himself does not hold by it. What we're saying is that the example of Shavuos, which includes Le She'ovar, that's according to Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi himself, who darshans Klal Uprat, Klal, would not include a Shavua Le She'ovar. Gufa. This is now a quote from that which we saw at the bottom of Dalet Amud Aleph, a Tanaic source that continued to the top of Dalet Amud Beis. After we read this source, the Gemara will then make reference to it. Minayin she'eno chayav elo al shiyesh bo yediya b'tchila v'yediya b'sof v'helam b'intayim. How do we know in the realm of Tumas Mikdosh, Vekadoshov, that there is no Chiyuv unless there was awareness of the Tuma, and then in the interim there was he forgot, and only later on discovered that he had been Tomei when he ate the Korban, for example. Talmud Lomar, V'ne'elam, V'ne'elam, Shnei Pa'olim, Divrei Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Omer, Eino Tzorech. in order to come to this conclusion that you need a yediyah beforehand and a yediyah afterwards. I don't need the two vene'elams for that purpose. Harehu omer vene'elam. You have one expression, vene'elam, which implies michlal shiyoda, that he had knowledge of the tumah. The pasuk itself says v'hu yoda. That seems to be redundant. Once you have the word vene'elam, that already indicates there was knowledge. So the hu yoda, what is that? Hare kan shtei yediyos. There you have a reference to two yediyos. One yediya before the tumah, and then the interim. There was the interim forgetting, and then the second yediya that he discovered he had been tomei when he encountered the mikdash or the korban. Im kein matam lomar vene'elam vene'elam. If that be the case, so what is the extra vene'elam coming to teach me? L'chayev al helam tumo ve'al helam mikdash. To say that there is guilt for helam mikdash as well. Omamar v'ne'elam michlal shiyoda. We have used little arrows in the margin to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara to show you where v'ne'elam was cited in the source. So at that point in the source we saw v'ne'elam that it suggested there had been a yediyah, because the word vene'elam is, and it became hidden from him, or he forgot. It must be, in order to forget something, you have to have a yediyah beforehand. My mashma, how do you see that vene'elam implies, how do you see that in the word? Before we go further in the Gemara, let's just glance at the outside margin, the nosei, mivneh. We see the nosei is the topic heading, mivneh, a structural note. In our Gemara, we see the use of a triangle. These triangles, you have one around Rava, and a number of lines later, a second triangle around Abaye. Hezberim lema shekotoni vene'elam michlal shiyoda. We're going to explain this idea that the source made reference to, that the fact that the Torah says vene'elam, it implies that there had been knowledge. In the ensuing Gemara, we'll see diamonds with double underlines. Mekomos shemofim hamila vene'elam. Different places in the Torah that the word vene'elam appears. Ubekach makshim al hezbero shel Rava. And with that, we will then be asking on Rava's explanation. Once we finish with the discussion surrounding Rava's explanation, Abaye will explain the idea behind the Tanaic source that said vene'elam michlal shiyoda. So, Omar, we ask, how does vene'elam imply that he had knowledge? Omar Rava, midolo ksiv v'hi alumo mimenu. The Torah doesn't say, and it had been hidden from him. That indicates to us that he had knowledge, and then only later forgot. Omar lay Abaye. Abaye asks, and we've also noted a long question marking that you can see to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, the kuf that's encircled, kushya, with a dashed vertical line indicating the length of the question. So Abaye asks, Elameato gabi soito dichtiv, regarding the wayward woman, the woman who was warned by her husband not to be with another man, and she nevertheless didn't heed his warning and was in private with another man. It says in that parsha of Soto, v'ne'elam me'enei isha, that the was hidden from the eyes of her husband. Michlal dehavi yoda meikara. Does the fact that the pasuk uses the word v'ne'elam indicate that he knew that she had been in private with this man after he warned her not to be? He have yoda, if the husband knew that she had been with the man he warned her against, mi bodku lo maya, then would the water have checked her out? The mei sota that this wayward woman has to drink in the event that we have evidence that she was in private with another man against whom she had been warned not to be. But if the husband had known about her being in private and then continued to have relations with his wife, the water would not check her out. V'hotanya, the source says, v'nika ho'ish me'avoin, v'isha ha'hi tisa es avona. And we darshan, bizman sho'ish menuke me'ovon, when the husband is free of sin, hamayim boikim es ishto, then the water will serve to punish her or check her out, or serve to determine her status as either guilty or innocent. Ein ho'ish menuke me'ovon. However, if you have a husband that was aware that his wife had been in private with another man after he warned her not to be, and the husband continued to have relations with her after she was in private with that other guy, we say the husband had forbidden, once he knows that his wife was in private with another man after the husband warned against such a thing, the husband is not allowed to have relations with her. Well, if he did, then ein ho'ish menuka me'ovon, that's what we just said, that the husband is not clean from sin, ein hamayin bodkim es ishto. So the water would not have any effect on the wife. Therefore, the pasuk that describes the sota ceremony, which says v'ne'elam me'ene isha, we cannot say that v'ne'elam implies that he had an awareness beforehand. Vesu gabi Torah. With regard to the Torah, it says, "Dichtiv v'ne'elmo me'ene kochai u'me'oif hashamayim nistero." That the Torah, before it was actually given, was hidden from all creatures. No one knew. No thing knew of the existence of Torah. So the fact that the expression v'ne'elmo appears there, Mechlal deiko dahavi yoda bo, is, are you suggesting someone did know about the Torah? Well, Steve, the pasuk in Eov says lo yoda enosh erka, man knew nothing of it. In other words, no creatures knew of the Torah until it was actually given. But you see the word v'ne'elmo appears. Therefore, we see from these two proofs, from the case of sota and the case of Torah, that v'ne'elmo per se does not indicate that there had been awareness beforehand. Elo Omar Abaye, Kosovar Rebbe. Rebbe, who says that the penalty for Tumas Mikdosh requires Yediyah before and Yediyah after, where do we know that there was Yediyah before? So the Gemara explains, you know how we know there's Yediyah before? Because Yediyah space Rabbo Shmo Yediyah. The fact that he once learned about Tuma, and when the person encountered the Tuma, at that point he was aware of it, he felt it, he felt he was touching the Tuma, that is called Yediyah. So the existence of a Yediyah B'tchila is almost axiomatic by the fact that people had once learned about Tuma and contact with it and the prohibition of going into the Beis HaMikdash or eating Korbanos in such a way. That constitutes the initial Yediyah. Omar le Rav Pavel Abaye, Elo Dekotoni. So Rav Pavel asks, there is a Mishnah that says, "Ein." Our Mishnah says, "Ein bo yediyah b'tchila, v'yesh bo yediyah b'sof." We've dashed underlined, "Ein bo yediyah b'tchila." Well, mi iko the less lay yediyas beis rabu. Is there anyone that doesn't have that never learned about tuma? Amalei Abai says, "In there is a scenario of someone who never learned about tuma." Mishkachas lo b'tinok shenish bo levein hanochrim. A case where a Jewish child, or as a child, was captured by Goyim and grew up amongst them, he never had the opportunity of learning in a Torah institution, so he never had Yediyas Rabo. Yitzios Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba. Before we go further, let us glance at the outside margin. We have the nosei. Loma haMishnah v'tchilas Maseches Shabbos yoiser mefuretes miMishnasenu beInyan Yitzias Shabbos. Why is it that the Mishnah at the beginning of Maseches Shabbos has more detail in it than our Mishnah with regard to Yitzias Shabbos, regard to transferring items from different domains. And a second point, Lahasbir Mahu Shtayim Shein Arba. We'll dwell on the explanation of that phrase in the context of Hoitzah, transferring items from domain to domain. Tanan Hosom, the Mishnah there in Shabbos says, Yitzias Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim, Ushtayim Shein Arba Bachutz. As you can see, the language of the Mishnah at the beginning of Masechta Shabbos is, with regard to Hotzah, is more elaborate than our Mishnah. Our Mishnah simply said Yitzias Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba, without references to Bifnim and Bachutz. So, my Shno Hocha Detona Shtayim Shein Arba Vesu Lo. Why is it that our Mishnah just mentions in an abbreviated fashion Shtayim Shein Arba and nothing further? And there in Masechah Shabbos it says Shtayim Shein Arba Bifnim Ushtayim Shein Arba Bachutz. As you can see, it's loaded with greater detail. In order to answer this question, the Gemara will provide a couple of approaches. Number one, Hosam, the Iker Shabbos, who, there in Masechah Shabbos, which is the source of Halochas of Shabbos, Toni Avos Vitoldos, the Mishnah teaches the original form, namely the Av, Vitoldos, and derivative forms of the Molochav, the Shabbos prohibited activity. Hacha, here in Masechah Shavuos, the Lav Iker Shabbos, the thrust of the Mishnah here is not necessarily to communicate Halachos Shabbos. Ovos Toni, Toldos Lo Toni. The Mishnah teaches only the primary type of offense and not the derivative. The Gemara now asks a question that lasts a couple of lines. We've indicated that with our long question marking to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara, the Kuf that's encircled. Kushya, with the vertical dashed line indicating the length of it. So the Gemara asks, Ovos my ninu, what are the Ovos, the primary type of Hotzah? Yitzios. Yitzios is a reference to the transferring of an item from a private domain, from Rishus HaYochid, outside into a Rishus HaRabim. Well, Yitzios Tarti Havyon. As far as Yitzios are concerned, our Mishnah says Yitzios Shabbos Shtayim Shein Arba. How many Yitzios there are there though? There's only the Yitzia, the Hotzah done on the part of the person standing on the inside, standing in the private domain, who puts the item into the public domain, and you also have a Hotzah done by the person standing on the outside, who reaches into the private domain and picks the item up and brings it to where he is in the public domain. Those are two examples of Hotzah. Where do you get to after claiming that our Mishnah features only Avos, where do you get to Arba though? V'chitemo mehen l'chiyuv u'mehen l'ftor. If you, and you might want to say that some of the activities of Hotzah are chayav, means guilty, and some are one would be exempt from, by, as far as the Torah is concerned. Nevertheless, such an approach we cannot take in with regard to our Mishnah, v'ha dumya demaros negoyim kotoni, because our Mishnah teaches in the same context of Shabbos. It also teaches the issue concerning negoyim. Ma hosam, just like there by negoyim kulu l'chiyuva, all four are chayev. In other words, all four forms of whiteness would generate an avera if one does forbidden things in that state of tuma. Af hocha, so too by Shabbos, kulhu l'chiyuva. All of them have to be chayev. All the examples, all arba. So by saying that some of the examples, or some of the possibilities of Hotzah are chayev, where we didn't explain before, but that would be where one individual did the entire act. He picked it up in the private domain and placed it into the public domain. And the suggestion that there would be potter, that would be if he only did half of it and the other fellow completed it. That nevertheless is not a good explanation, because it's taught, Shabbos is taught together with Maris Negoyim in our Mishnah. And just like by Negoyim they all result in Chiyuv, Af Hocha, so too with regard to Shabbos, Kulhu L'Chiyuva. They have to all be Chayav, not Potter. Elo Omar Rav Papa. We now start a second approach. Hosam, the Iker Shabbos, Toni Chiyuvi Ufturi. There, in Masechet Shabbos, where the first Mishnah was elaborate, the Mishnah tells you all the details. It tells you chayav, that those kind of activities that would be chayav, and those that would be potter, meaning not chayav min haTorah. Hocha, with regard to our Mishnah here in Masechet Shavuos that makes a reference to Shabbos, chayuvi toni ufturi lo toni. The Mishnah doesn't engage in teaching the examples of exemption. The Gemara asks, chayuvi mai minhu. When you talk about the chiyuvim, what are the chiyuvim of Hotzah? Yitzios. Yitzios is the expression referring to going from, taking the item from private domain and putting it in public domain. But Yitzios Tarti, Hu Dehavyon, there are only two examples of Yitziah. Where do you get to the four? Where do you get to Shein Arba? The two that we know of are the one of the Oni, the person standing in the public domain, and one of the Balabayas, the fellow standing in the private domain. So how, if you want to say that our Mishnah features only Chiyuvim, how do you get to four? The Gemara answer is, I'll show you how you get to four. Shtayim dehoitzah, ushtayim dehachnosah. Two of the four are Hotzah. Those are where the article is taken from the private domain, either by the Oni or the Balabayas, and placed in the public domain. And two more examples to equal four of Hachnosah. That's where an article is taken from the public domain and brought into, placed into the private domain. The Gemara asks, but how can you say that as pshat in the Mishnah? V'ho yitzios katani. We say yitzios haShabbos shtayim shem arba. So, and yitzia, as we said before, that's an indication of something going from private domain to public domain. So how can you include hachnosa when the Mishnah doesn't make a reference to hachnosa? Amar Rav Ashi, Tana hachnosa nami hoitza kari la. The Tana refers to hachnosa by the term hoitza. So when you see the term yitzios or hoitza, you know that there are two cases of going from private to public and two more cases going from public to private. Mimai, from where do you know that the Tana uses the word hachnosa when in fact, or let us say more accurately, how do you know that the Tana will use the term hotzah and include in that term the phenomenon of hachnosa? Mimai, from where do you know this? Tisnan, we have a Mishnah in the seventh parak of Shabbos, the Mishnah that lists off all of the different avos malachos. It says there, Hamotzi Mirushus Lurushus Chayav. We've dashed underlined the word Hamotzi. Mi lo askina de koma ayol iuli. The Mishnah there, is it not also talking about a case of someone going from Rishus Arabim to Rishus Hayochid? Veka kori le hoitza. And yet the Mishnah in Shabbos, in the seventh parak, uses the term hotza to and includes therein the case of going from Rishus Harabin to Rishus Hayochid, which we refer to as Hachnosa. The Gemara asks, V'dilma komapik mirishus Hayochid l'Rishus Harabin. How do you know that the Mishnah there in Shabbos is speaking about going from public to private? Maybe the Mishnah there is referring to the case of going from private to public. Moore says, "Im kain nisni hamotzi mirushus hayochid lirushus harabim." If the intent of the Mishnah there in Shabbos was to convey going from specifically from private to public, it should have said it. It should have said so. My merushus l'rushus. What does that expression mean? The expression that in fact appears in Shabbos. The afilu merushus harabim l'rushus hayachid. The expression merushus l'rushus is including the case of going from public to private, which we like to call as hachnosa. V'kah kori lo hotza, and yet the Mishnah in Shabbos uses the word hotza, where it says hamotzi mirushus lirushus. V'taimomai, why is it that the term hotza will include the movement of the article from the public domain to the private domain? Tana, kol akiras chefetz mimukomo v'tana, when referring to any case of uprooting an article from its spot and placing it somewhere else, hotza kori lo. The term hotza is used for that. For what? For akiras chefetz mimukomo, including the case of taking it from the public domain and placing it in the private domain. Omar avina masnisin nami daiko. By careful reading of the Mishnah, you will see this as well, namely that the term yitzia includes hachnasa. Dikotoni, the Mishnah says yitzia Shabbos shtayim shehen arba bifnim ushtayim shehen arba bachutz. The komeforish hachnasa shma mina. The Mishnah in Shabbos that mentions shtayim shehen arba bifnim and shtayim shehen arba bachutz as a title, when it goes on in the Mishnah there to give examples, the first example that it gives is the case of Hachnosa, namely the case of the Oni, who's standing in the Rishus Rabim, places something from where he is standing into a Rishus Hayochid. So from this we say, Shema Mino, this is conclusive that the term Yitziah refers to Hachnosa as well. Rova Omar. Rova comes to address the Loshon of the Mishnah, Shtayim Shein Arba, and says that the Shtayim is a reference to places, and Shein Arba, those, that's a reference to four Chiyuvim that each domain can eventually be responsible for. So Rav Omar Rishios Katani, Rishios Shabbos equals Shtayim, namely Rishios Harabim, public domain, and Rishios Hayochid, private domain. Shehein Arba means that from the two Rishios you can come up with four Chiyuvim, four cases of Chiyuv Doraisa, namely two cases of Chiyuv regarding the person in the private domain, the Balabayas, and two cases of Chiyuv regarding the person in the public domain, namely the Oni. What are the two cases for each one, for a total of four? So, as we've said already a number of times, there's a act of hotza and hachnosa for the balabayas, and an act of hotza and hachnosa for the oni. Maros negoyim shnayim shein arba. Tanan hosam. A Mishnah at the beginning of Maseches Negoyim says, Maros negoyim Shnayim Shein Arba Baharis Azo Kisheleg Shnia Lo Kesid Hahechal, which means there are within the realm of this Negoyim of skin discolorations. The Torah talks about a Baharis. Baharis is classified as the whitest of the different levels of whiteness. It's an intense whiteness like snow. The Mishnah there in the Goyim goes on to say, Shnia La, subsidiary to Baharis, there is a whiteness level, Kesid HaHechal, that has the color of the plaster used on the Hechal. Se'es, Ketzemer Lovan, Shnia La, Kekrum Beitza. The Se'es, which is another Torah expression, that indicates a level of whiteness like white wool, Kitzemer Lovan. Under that level of whiteness, you have something that's called Kikrum Beitza, like the membrane on the inside of an egg. So it's a certain white level, white color. That is the Mishnah in Negoyim. Omar Rava, Man Tana Marois Negoim. Like whom, or based on which Tana, is the Mishnah that refers to the Negoyim, even though we didn't see the words used, Avos and Toldos, but it's implied by the Loshon of the Mishnah there, where it says it cites one, and then it's a Shniola, subsidiary to it. That expression indicates Avos and Toldos. So who is it that teaches the Mishnah, that's responsible for the Mishnah in Negoyim? The Gemara says, Delo k'Rabbi Akiva. It doesn't conform to Rabbi Akiva's approach. D'i Rabbi Akiva, if it were like Rabbi Akiva, Kivan di Omar, Zu l'mala mizu, v'zu l'mala mizu, since that expression appears in the Mishnah in Negoyim, as a result of that, we are going to conclude that the Mishnah in Negoyim cannot be like Rabbi Akiva. Let's say this again. The fact that the Mishnah in Negoyim talks about Ovos and Toldos, a primary form of whiteness and something that is subsidiary to it, that does not conform to Rabbi Akiva's approach, because Rabbi Akiva said, Zu l'mala mizu, v'zu l'mala mizu. And according to Rabbi Akiva, you would have four levels, each one above the next. So the most intense whiteness level is like Sheleg. In the number two position, where the second level would be Tzemer. The third is like Sid, a white plaster. And the fourth, Krum, like the membrane on the inside of an egg, which would be, in effect, the lowest level of whiteness of those four. So, as our Gemara goes on, it says, if the Mishnah in Negoyim, which talks about Ovos and Toldos, namely two Ovos and their respective Toldos, if it were according to Rabbi Akiva, the Rabbi Akiva, Kevon the Omar, Zu l'mala mizu, v'zu l'mala mizu, since Rabbi Akiva doesn't talk about two categories, two Ovos and two respective Toldos, but rather he has a hierarchy of four, not as opposed to two, let's say two columns, if you in your mind's eye would have two columns, one entitled Baharis and the other one entitled Seis, and each one of those has something under it. That's not like Rabbi Akiva, because he says the Negoyim are to be set up as a list of four in increasing level of brightness. That's what the expression of Zu l'mala mizu v'zu l'mala mizu means. Now, since he holds that way, since Rabbi Akiva holds this latter approach, im kein tiharto sid hechal milatzaref, you are not allowing the sid hechal color, the plaster whiteness, to connect up with another nega to create a full shiur. Just a word about siruf. There could be a situation where there's the Torah has a minimum shiur for a nega. Let us say that there are developed on a person's body a nega less than that minimum shiur. What would happen if there develops alongside that nega another nega, also of a quantity less than the minimum shiur, but together they would have the necessary dimension for tumah? This idea of putting together the two minuscular dimensions to form a nega of sufficient dimension, that's called tsiruf. And we know that in the realm, there's a premise that this Gemara is taking, that within the realm of Negoyim, tsiruf must exist. But if you were to set up the Mishnah in Negoyim, which talks about Ovos and Toldos, namely two separate categories, each one having its own Av and Tolda, you will thereby create a situation where the Sid level cannot link up with any of the other forms of Negoyim, any other levels of Negoyim. And that will cause a problem. And now the Gemara explains what we just meant by Tiharto Sid Hechel Mitzaref. Because with whom would it be mitzaref? Litzrafe bahadi baharis, if you were to suggest that the sid, which is the, we can say it's the third level of whiteness, if you're to say that it should join up, if there's a an issue of two of joining it up with a another nega of minimum shear, and if you were to suggest that it could mitzaref, the sid level can mitzaref with baharis, which is its av, as the Mishnah in the Goyim suggests, nevertheless that won't be possible. Ikos se'es de'adifa mine, because there's the se'es color, which is just one level above sid, and since it's one level above sid, the sid joins with that which is only one level above it. But something that is something like the baharis, which is two levels above it, the sid could not join up. It's too far away. It's too too disparate. Litzrafe bahadi seis. Maybe the sid would be able to join up with the seis level of whiteness on a person's flesh, but that can't work either. Lav tola da di dehu. The sid is not a tola of seis. One might take advantage of the little quasi chart that we have written on the inside margin. We call it Seder HaMishnah, the Seder of the Negoim, as our Mishnah, as the Mishnah in Negoim suggests. You have Baharis, which is the highest level of whiteness. That's, we call that column Aleph. That's the Av, one Av. There's another Av that's referred to by the Torah as the word Seis, which is like the color of Tzemer Lovan, white wool. Those are the first two categories, but each one is categorized as an av. Under Baharis has a tolda that's called sid. Seis has a tolda, and that's the krum beitza. As we're going on in the Gemara, since Rabbi Kiva does not have the ovos and tolda set up, but rather zu lamala mizu v'zu lamala mizu, if the Mishnah in the Goyim was to be authored by Rabbi Akiva, you would be precluding Sid HaHechal from joining up with anything else. And the Gemara just said that it can't join up with the Baharis, nor can it join up with Seis. So with that in mind, we have to say that the Mishnah in the Goyim cannot be according to Rabbi Akiva. The Gemara asks, Ihachi, if Rabbi Akiva holds that there's no tziruf with something that's two stages above it in whiteness, why do you focus the question on the issue of the Sid? You could have asked a question from the Krum Beitza example as well. Ihachi Krum Beitza Nami Bahadi Man Litzrafe. What will the Krum Beitza level of whiteness join up with? Litzrafe Bahadi Seis. If you were to suggest that the Krum Beitza level should join up with Seis, which is its of, Iko Sid Di Odif Mine. The level right above Krum Beitza is Sid, and we wouldn't want the Krum Beitza to jump two levels up. Litzrafe Bahadi Sid, well, if you would suggest that Krum Beitza should join up with Sid, Lav Bar Mine Hu. The Sid is under the Baharis heading, where the Krum Beitza is under the Seis heading. They are not of like, they don't have a common Av, and therefore it's called not its own kind. Therefore the Krum Beitza can't join up with the Sid. At this point we're holding in a technical question, and that is that if you want to show that the Mishnah in Negoyim cannot be authored by Rabbi Kiva, why choose to show that through the case of the Sid Heichal and its inability to be mitzaref? You could have shown that through the Krum Beitza and its inability to be mitzaref. So the Gemara answers at the top of Dav Vov Amud Aleph. Hi, my. How can you compare these two? Bishlamo below Sid Heichal, without the issue of Sid Heichal, Krum Beitza lo kashya. The issue of the Krum Beitza would not have posed a difficulty or an incongruity with regard to our with regard to the Mishnah in the Goyim that talks about Ovos and Toldos. The Afagav the Krum Beitza Mitatoi Deseis, even though the Krum Beitza is two levels of whiteness below the Seis level, nevertheless, the Krum Beitza still could be Mitzdarev to Seis. Rachmono Amar Velo Seis Velo Sapachas. The Torah says that Sapachas Tfelo L'Seis Afagav the Minchisa Mine Tuva. The Torah is revealing to us that the Seis has the capacity of including, of being mitzarif with something that's even very much below it. That's what the expression of the Minchisa Minei Tuva, that's very far below it. In other words, there's Xeris HaKosuv, the word L'Sapachas being attached to Seis suggests that Seis can include even something two levels below it. Elo Sid Heichal Kashya. However, the issue of the Sid Heichal, which is considered a tolda of Baharis, and with regard to Baharis, you don't have the word Sapachas, which empowered the Seis to include two levels below it, but you don't have that by the Baharis. So I can't have the Sid joining up with the Baharis. And as we said before, and the Sid can't join up with the Seis either, because it's not its own, it's not a tolda of Seis. Elo machvarta, rather, it's most likely that masnisin de lo k'Rabbi Akiva, that the Mishnah in the Goyim that speaks about ovos, that refers to or hints to ovos and toldos, would not conform to Rabbi Akiva that has them set up in a hierarchy, one above the other. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.